I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday afternoon. We have a very important hour coming up. Our guest has made an enormous contribution to the national discussion about ISIS and to giving us a much better understanding of what ISIS is and what they want. Graham Wood will be joining us in a moment. Graham is a well-traveled journalist, and his thorough examination of ISIS appears in the March issue of The Atlantic. It's been getting a great deal of national attention. It is the cover story. Even though we will have a lengthy conversation with him, I highly recommend reading his article, which is on our Facebook page. If you can't read it before our interview, then you could read it sometime over the weekend. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. He says that the ranks of the Islamic State are deeply infused with religious vigor. Quran quotations are ubiquitous. Even the foot soldiers spout this stuff constantly. And the president, referring to the Islamic State as not Islamic and Al-Qaeda's JV team, he says they are statements that reflect confusion about the group and may have contributed to significant strategic errors. You heard the news from NPR at the top of the hour. First three stories concerned ISIS. It's an important conversation, and we'll be with Graham in just one moment. But we have other important conversations going on this hour as well. This is also, in order to have conversations like this, we need to raise money. And this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for the Kathleen Dunn Show, for conversations like the one you're about to hear, for all of the programs that you enjoy on WPR. And this drive is the time for you to take action. Become a WPR contributor with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello, KP.
Hello, Kathleen. I'm very excited about this upcoming interview. And for all of the great programming we have here at WPR, that's where I get a lot of my news and information as well. Last hour, we heard from 18 people, new and returning members. Thank you so much for your pledges for this Winter Pledge Drive.
And right now, we have, these are great things, a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,700. It's a generous match from Diane Putzer from Appleton, Dan Fields from Madison. Thank you. And thanks to the anonymous donors, it means that they will match every single dollar you give. So you know what that means. Double your money. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Pledges doubled. You're supporting the programs you love. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, Kathleen, we talk about ISIS, and we've been talking about the Middle East for quite a number of years. And we always get such great guests on WPR because they know you'll ask great questions. And they also know that our listeners will ask great questions and that they won't be interrupted by commercials either. So your support really does make that possible. You really are the most reliable part of our budget. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And of course, you always decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters. Every pledge helps pay for the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. And during this drive, you can ask for your I Love WPR magnets when you give $60 or more.
That's right. You can have two magnets, actually. It's one large and one small magnet. You can stick them on your car, refrigerator, wherever you like to show your love for WPR. All you need to do is ask for the magnets when you give $60 or more. That's only $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Thank you, Barbara. Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this winter membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. We are asking for your support of WPR. Your gift, $10 or $15 a month. Whatever amount you can give, you choose to give, we thank you for it.
And I, you know, love living in Wisconsin. We live in a very generous society. We're quick to help push a neighbor out of the snow when they're trying to get to work in the morning,
no.
or shovel the neighbor's walkway for them. And we also are good neighbors that chip in for good causes.
We ask you to continue that tradition of a generous society when you support WPR. If you've never given to us before, become our next new member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Many new members give $5 a month, but the amount is totally up to you.
And, one common factor among WPR listeners is that they love to read.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly a lot of your listeners, Kathleen, love reading. And you've probably all gotten a lot of book recommendations from your WPR listening. So whether it's a book on chapter a day or an interview that Kathleen's done or one of the other hosts on the network or something you just heard on a news program that made you want to go out and learn more on that topic.
Or what we're talking about today, and I must give KP and Scotty credit. KP has booked Graham, and it's going to be a very informative and really important and perhaps controversial conversation, Graham Wood. We also spend a great deal of time, KP and Scotty do, in posting articles, information to our Facebook page. So if you haven't read this Atlantic piece, it's right there for you. And I really highly urge you to read that. Important books, important magazine articles. It's like a never-ending list of what we ought to read to be informed. Your donation makes that kind of careful attention to detail and discovery possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2555.
And now really is the time to give.
Yeah.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,700 in effect right now. So it's a great time to pledge because Diane Putzer from Appleton, Dan Fields from Madison, and an anonymous donor will double every dollar that you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. And you can double your impact right now with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think of your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio as an investment in your future listening. Give a few minutes of your time and your donation in any amount, and in return, what a deal, you will get many, many great programs.
Donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and in just a few minutes, you'll have made a wise investment, one that pays dividends every day.
Our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. WPR.org is the place to go, 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And again, during this pledge drive, we're offering something special that's the new WPR, I Love WPR magnet. And they're yours for a pledge of just $60. That's $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know some of you give faithfully every year, and some of you are sustainers. You may want to become a sustainer. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, you can join Barbara from Caledonia, who says, I love you. I love Chapter a Day, which precedes this show, and I love old-time radio. And if you love those shows, support now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And importantly, you may have heard that Wisconsin is having a debate about the level of funding for Wisconsin public broadcasting, and it could lead to a significant decrease in state support. That funding has been essential to delivering programs like this one throughout the state.
And Wisconsin Public Broadcasting is working very hard to address this challenge as the budget process goes forward. And listener support still continues to be a vital part of the WPR budget. So your donation is more important than ever at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much. Thanks for all you do, KP. And for particularly, I've been looking forward to talking to this guest for a long time, and it's always timely. You heard the news from NPR. ISIS now holding 262 Christian hostages in Syria, and the UK man behind the ISIS beheadings has been identified. That news coming to us as well. So ISIS is always front and center, unfortunately, for months and months now. now. And our guest now has made an enormous contribution to the national discussion about ISIS. Graham Wood is our guest this hour. Graham is a lecturer in political science at Yale University, a contributing editor to The Atlantic and The New Republic, books editor of Pacific Standard. He's been all over the world. He was a reporter at the Cambodia Daily in Phnom Penh. He lived and wrote in the Middle East from 2002 to 2006, has received fellowships from the Social Sciences Research Council, the South Asian Journalists Association, the East-West Center, and the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum Center for the Prevention of Genocide. He also, in putting together this lengthy and very important article that's received a great deal of national attention, traveled to meet with members of ISIS and traveled to Australia to meet one of the two people who is most important in attracting young people to the ISIS cause. Recruiting people for that. So we're going to talk with Graham as we continue, and we'll be welcoming phone calls. And the article, again, please read it in case you can't now. Read it sometime over the weekend. It is important. It's on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Graham, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, what an important piece you have written here. What's really amazing to me, and I've been asking this question, who are these people? What is this group? What do they want? For such a long time now, and nobody seems to be able to answer the question. It's astounding to me what the president has said about ISIS, what other people who you would think would have been studying this group for a long time don't seem to understand it in the depth that you have presented to us. And I'm wondering, why is there this gap?
Well, you know, this group arose after the chaos of the occupation of Iraq and out of the civil war in Syria, and I think there's been a lot of fatigue just in the communities that might otherwise be watching these things, of looking at what's been happening in these places that we're so relieved to get out of. So I think inattention actually plays a big role. I also think, by the way, that one of the things that I've tried to say is that the group has an ideology, that it's a well-thought-through ideology. It's not shared by very many people, but I think there's also this kind of view that non-Western groups like this don't have complicated views of the world, and that they really are some kind of barbarians and just psychopaths. But I suggest that that's not the case.
Yeah. We refuse to believe that this could be any kind of a religious ideology. So many people have said this is not the Muslim faith. This is not a part of Islam. But as you say in the article, it is an adherence to adherence to teachings from medieval times.
Yeah, well, it is one type of Islam. There are many, many different types of Islam. And the sense in which it is Islamic, without any doubt, is that it reaches back into a particular, peculiar, very unpopular tradition within early Islam, medieval Islam, called Salafism. And it has particular texts that it considers authoritative and the early practices of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. And it cares a great deal whether what it does reflects the precepts from that tradition.
The amount of land that this organization now controls is huge. You remind us they rule an area larger than the United Kingdom. And there's a very important figure. I don't think we hear very much about him. There are reasons for this. But tell us about how much they rule, how much they hope to rule, and who this new caliph is.
So, first of all, you're quite right that they control an area larger than the United Kingdom. I hasten to add, though, that most of that is desert. What is not desert, what's inhabited, is extremely poor. So it's comparable only in the footprint of the land. Their aspiration, though, as you say, is to expand. They would like to, of course, cover the earth. And they will do that militarily if they can't do it by just convincing people that their interpretation of Islam is correct. The man who leads the group is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. He's thought to be 43 years old. He has a PhD in Islamic sciences from a university in Iraq. And apart from that, we don't really know that much about him, other than that he was in captivity during the Iraq occupation for at least a year or so in an American camp. Then he showed up in the middle of last year, and he was declared caliph, and ever since then he's claimed that he is the sole rightful leader of Muslims.
So he showed up on this video, and all of a sudden people showed up to join the Islamic State.
Yeah, the supporters of the Islamic State have a really interesting, strange view of what Islam consists of. And they believe that you can't even really be a proper Muslim unless you've given a pledge of loyalty to a valid caliph. So some of these people were just sitting around, and there hasn't been a caliphate since 1924. So they believe that for at least 90 years, it was basically impossible to be a Muslim in the fullest sense of the word. So when he showed up and said, "We have a caliphate," they said, we're on our way right now.
You've tried to change this, our perception or our knowledge about the Islamic State, but you've done so at great expense and great time. You traveled to Australia, you've worked in the Middle East, you've met with members of the Islamic State. Many, many reporters have not done that. But so you say that in some ways our ignorance is understandable, but it would seem to me as though we really need to get up to speed and have a very deep understanding. This group is dominating our headlines. It's making people fearful. They're doing atrocious things, not that others don't, but it's hard to understand it, and they seem to be getting stronger, and yet we don't understand who they are.
Yeah, I think it's really unfortunate that we averted our attention from this group for so long, because the group, it creates so much propaganda. There's so much that comes out of it that really all we really needed to do is look.
Mm-hmm.
I started by looking at the pronouncements of the group, some of the fatwas that had come out, even some of the just propaganda videos, the grisly beheadings and so on. And it, really almost everything that they say has a ideological inflection to it that really makes no sense unless you start to begin to understand how they conceive of themselves and where they think they fit in the world of Islam and in the coming apocalypse.
And you have to watch the beheadings in the morning so you can sleep at night, right?
It helps to front load the day with that stuff so that you can have a nice quiet evening.
Yeah,
yes.
Must be hard. You talk about the fact that we have misunderstood the nature of the Islamic State, that we and you can hear this when people talk about it. Some will say Al-Qaeda, some will say ISIL, some will say ISIS, some use all of those interchangeably. The Islamic State supporters you spoke with refer to Osama bin Laden as Sheikh Osama, which is a title of honor. But you say jihadism has evolved since Al-Qaeda's heyday. How so?
Yes. So they certainly view Osama bin Laden as a precursor, a progenitor of their movement. But there was this split that happened when Abu Musab al-Zarqawi was the leader of ISIS's precursor organization in Iraq. And he started doing things a bit differently. Al-Qaeda in the past had been fairly cautious about having its main target be Western targets, World Trade Center, etc. And Zarqawi said, no, we will attack Muslims who are near us and who we disagree with. And principally that meant the Shia. So attacking Iraqi Shia openly and really in getting a lot of civilians, that was one of his main goals. And it's really what characterizes the Islamic State today. And the other thing, by the way, that the Islamic State does a bit differently from Al-Qaeda is that they think the end of the world is coming on a quicker schedule than Al-Qaeda does. They mm-hmm. mention it a lot, and that's a real distinction from the sort of centuries or millennia-long calendar that was planned by Al-Qaeda.
And tell us more about what those beliefs are, because it would appear that it's getting fairly close. You have the 8th caliph here, and at the 12th you're supposed to have an apocalypse, right?
Yeah, there's a famous hadith that is a saying of the Prophet that said that there will be 12 caliphs. And usually it's actually Shia who adopt that hadith and stress it, but it's canonical. And ISIS also believes that there will be 12, and they had a document written by Turki al-Bin Ali last year that said these are the 7 who have already been out there. Our guy is number 8. And, you do the math. There's 4 caliphs left, and they think that once we get to the last one, then things can start getting interesting.
Mm-hmm. You also met with, I can't remember his name, and he's a big shot in all of this. He's a young man in his 30s in Australia who's been very, very instrumental in getting people from all over the world to come and join the Islamic State. Tell me about your visit with him and how recruiting tools, what's being used and what is successful for them.
If you met the guy, as I did, you wouldn't think he was a big shot. And in some ways, he's not. He's just a guy who lives in Melbourne openly. Everybody, the authorities know where he is. And he has a Twitter account. He has a Facebook account. But the analysis that was done by King's College London named him as one of the two most important disseminators of the ideology of the Islamic State. So I went to him and had hours of conversations with the guy, just asking, what does the Islamic State believe? What do you believe? What is going on over there? And he was very open with his responses. He's a very intelligent young man who can tell me in great detail what the Holy Writ is for this or that atrocity in the Islamic State. You know, Muslims tend to say this guy is crazy. They reject what he says. I don't take a position on that. I'm just reporting exactly the ideology that he says he espouses, and that seems to be almost completely consistent with the Islamic State's.
You mentioned frequently in the article someone who is considered to be the world's expert, really, in this group and other jihadist kinds of groups. Professor Haeckel, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Bernard Haeckel.
In which he describes the fighters of the Islamic State, authentic throwbacks to early Islam and faithfully reproducing its norms of war. A lot of people will hear this and will say, well, this couldn't possibly be the case, so this may be thought of as controversial. I know your article has stirred a lot of response. Slavery, crucifixion, and beheadings.
Yes, and Haeckel's comments, I think, deserve some elaboration. He's pointing out that what they are trying to do is to emulate their view of what happened in the early days of Islam. And they have I think Haeckel would agree, a sort of fantastic vision of what those early days consisted of. They certainly, though, look into text and they find in passages of the Quran that are undisputed by any Muslims, mention of crucifixion, of slavery, of amputations. And, you know, most Muslims would say, we don't follow these things anymore. It's not part of our religion any longer, just as stoning adulterers is not part of Christianity or Judaism in the way most people practice it. ISIS does not take that point of view. They say this is the unchanging will of God. And so we have no choice. If you claim that slavery is not okay, you're saying that the Quran is not okay, and you're questioning its inerrancy. And so they think that would make you, even if you're a Muslim who prays five times a day, that would make you an infidel, and you'd have to be killed for it.
Well, the obvious question that will come pretty soon now is, how do you take on a group like this? What's important? It's obviously important to understand who they are, and we probably could use a lot of work in that regard, but what do you do strategically? Does it make sense to bomb these groups, to use a military strategy? Should there be another kind of strategy? We'll ask our guest about that in just a moment. Graham Wood is with us this hour. His article, well worth your attention, I believe, because it's so much background information on a group that nobody's doing a lot of background information on. It's the cover story of The Atlantic for the month of March, What ISIS Really Wants and How to Stop It. Graham has watched all of the propaganda videos. He's gone through all the tweets. He's met with members of this group all over the world. And it's a very, very thorough, lengthy, important article in The Atlantic. It's also on our Facebook page, so I would recommend you go there, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. You are listening, and we'll welcome phone calls, too, okay? I didn't mean to forget you. I never forget you. 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. I'm particularly interested in hearing from those of you who have read the article. 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll continue our conversation with Graham in just a moment and ask, of course, the question, how do you keep a group like the Islamic State from existing, which seems to be an important question. We are in our winter membership drive, and your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your place to go for conversations like this. KP Whaley is joining me to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift.
You won't need much encouragement from me because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from Diane Putzer from Appleton, Dan Fields from Madison, and another anonymous donor. So your gift right now of $50 will be $100, $100 to $200, and so on. So take advantage of this match and double your opportunity for WPR programs like Kathleen Dunn's show when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I know you're listening this hour because you know this is an important conversation. KP is so, so remarkable at getting conversations on the air that are important to have. Conversations like this one, Scotty as well, that we really get people who are worth listening to. And we're learning information that should be an important part of the national dialogue and the state dialogue. If these conversations are important, well, I know you think they are because that's why you listen. It only happens with your financial support, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And during the membership drive, you can also get an I Love WPR magnet when you give a gift of $60 or more. That's $5 a month. And your donation supports this program and all the programs you count on. And you can also get these cool magnets.
And you'll get one large magnet and one small magnet. You can put them on your ice box or whatever you would like. Show your love for WPR and pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, we get new members every drive, and you might be asking yourself, what does making a pledge mean? Well, a pledge is a promise, and we pledge to bring you great shows every day, and then you pledge to support them with a contribution of any amount.
When you help pay the cost of this station, we'll make sure that there's something interesting for you to listen to. That is our pledge, and if you listen to us, you know we take it to heart. Make yours, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And don't forget,
there's an amazing double opportunity right now, up to $4,700. So we have a lot of money at stake if you are able to give now, because our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And remember those magnets. They're yours for a pledge of $60, $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer already, you might consider becoming one as well. It's really easy to set up and it's convenient. You take ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card, and then WPR has that reliability. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
James from Madison says, I listen to WPR all the time and thought it was time to give some support. All right, that's it. That's the message.
That's a good message. And, you know, maybe you've heard that the proposed state budget includes a pretty significant cut in state support for Wisconsin public broadcasting. You tell us that you value the lasting impact of public broadcasting programs, the news, conversation, the music, and even the entertainment. So that's why Wisconsin Public Broadcasting, including WPR, is working hard to address those budget challenges as the process goes forward. Meanwhile, listener support is more important than ever, so make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you very much, everybody who's pledged. Thank you, KP, for all the work that you do. And Scotty, thank you as well. We continue our conversation, and we'll be welcoming phone calls. We have a busy hour, but we certainly welcome your phone calls. We're talking this hour with Graham Wood. Graham wrote a very, very important piece, cover story of The Atlantic, which is on our Facebook page in case you don't have a copy of the magazine with you. It is titled, What ISIS Really Wants and How to Stop It. And he put a heck of a lot of work, including many years in the Mideast, living there and reporting from there. He's reported from Cambodia. He has met with members of ISIS. He's read all of their propaganda, the tweets, the strategy. He knows this group as well as anybody, and probably better than some of the people who should know about this group. And we're welcoming phone calls for him. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Graham, let me get your response to one of the two news articles today. And this one, ISIS now holds 262 Christian hostages in Syria. Can you tell me how that fits into their plan? Why are they holding these hostages and other hostages as well, journalists, etc.?
They believe that holding hostages is an important tool of war. They think that getting money for hostages is something that they have religious license to do. So they don't feel bad about it in the slightest. They also think that it's important to terrify us. And that's what they're doing with the American hostages. I think once they've realized that money is not forthcoming for most of those Americans, they think that the best use of them is to really just scare the heck out of us. And that was pretty successful, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some phone calls. Larry in Whitewater is calling in. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Interesting program, interesting topic. I'd heard a lecture from the great lecture series about psychology that suggested that there were people who'd become wholly focused on religion with a type of epilepsy. And Bin Laden seemed to fit the profile, very low sense of humor and very flat affect. Can you comment about the personality of this fellow?
Well, the personality of Osama bin Laden, I am not an expert on. It was mentioned by Peter Bergen, who was the producer for the first CNN interview with him, that Bergen mentioned, made a joke, and bin Laden was stony-faced. So I think that does fit with the idea of him as being someone who doesn't quite have all of his psychological, emotional marbles in his head. What we can say about him and about Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi of ISIS is that they are both highly educated individuals. The conclusions that they come to about Islam and Islamic law are not popular ones within Islam. But there's no question, if you hear Baghdadi's speech or if you read Osama bin Laden's statements, that they're very eloquent. And they use modes of rhetoric in Arabic that are not available to just any person. They're really for someone who can express himself quite well in classical modes.
It is interesting to think about all these foot soldiers, and you talk about the slogans they may be uttering. They're certainly not walking around telling jokes, are they? I mean, it's sort of hard to imagine the incredible seriousness and viciousness of all of this for there to be much humor in the organization at all.
You know, I would actually say that might not be the case.
Really?
I've seen them make jokes a lot on Twitter.
What do they joke about?
Well, they'll joke about other Muslims. They like to call Muslims who are not on their side coconuts. I've seen them mock up pictures of Jackie Chan. I've seen them take images of President Obama when Obama makes comments about whether they're Muslim or not. I've seen them take his photograph and then Photoshop it so he's wearing the turban of an imam or a mullah. So they do have some sense of humor, and actually that makes it a lot easier to read their stuff day after day, even if it's still pretty shocking stuff.
Yeah. Interesting question. Thank you very much, Larry, for your call. Rachel in Madison. Hi, Rachel.
Hi there. Stop washing dishes now.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just wondering what your guests would comment about. I've been wondering, as a boomer generation person, watching the rise of ISIS and wondering how it might compare to the rise of the Nazi Party pre-World War II. I mean, those of us who are my age are always warned, at that time before World War II, what did you do to confront? Who was confronting? Who had the chutzpah to stand up to the Nazis? And I'm wondering, wondering if there's any parallels that the guests might see.
And add to that Khmer Rouge, because you have familiarity with them, Graham.
Yes. So the connection with the Nazis, I think, is it's an interesting comparison to make, because here's how they're similar. They both have this view of destiny. In ISIS's case, it's apocalyptic. In Germany's case, it was a view of a thousand-year Reich. And they were motivating their foot soldiers largely by having that view well understood through the ranks. Here's where they're different. The Nazi Party was a very successful conquering empire that took over much of Europe, whereas the Islamic State has really flourished only in this anarchic, chaotic zone within Syria and Iraq. So I don't think that it's reasonable to compare them as threats, say, to the United States. But certainly they have many of the same psychological characteristics in their allure. As for the Khmer Rouge, also a very interesting comparison. The Khmer Rouge certainly wouldn't have arisen if there hadn't been just bombing to smithereens in the run-up to their existence. And similarly, if there weren't an Iraqi occupation, if there weren't that chaos that came from that and from the Syrian civil war, then it would be very difficult to think of to imagine ISIS arising and becoming as powerful as it is.
Thank you so much for your call. We have time for more if you'd like to join our conversation. Our number is 800-486-8655. In your piece, we have to talk about how you counter this. One way to uncast the Islamic State spell over its adherents would be to overpower its military and occupy the parts of Syria and Iraq now under caliphate rule. You say the risks of escalation are enormous. Continuing to slowly bleed it through airstrikes and proxy warfare appears the best of bad military options.
Yes, and the option of an invasion, first of all, we certainly could take over Syria. We could deprive them of all of their land, and it would not be that hard. What we would do with it after that is a tougher question. I mean, we have the experience of occupations in Afghanistan and Iraq. They have not gone very well. They've created chaos and have had unpredictable and bad consequences. So I think we should be awfully careful in that way. And then finally, this whole narrative of ISIS versus the West, that's Islam versus the West, that is their main recruiting tool. They're trying to get people to believe that the apocalyptic war is one that is unfolding and that the world is polarized with Islam on one side and crusaders on the other. That would be instantly confirmed if we attempted to invade the territory of ISIS. If instead we let it to sort of rot and stagnate, I think we'd be in a much better position and we would be denying them that propaganda victory.
Hmm. Graham, I'm back to where I was at the beginning of the interview, but you also talk about the fact that we didn't identify the Islamic State's intentions very early. And you say we might, if we had, at a minimum, have pushed Iraq to harden its border with Syria and preemptively make deals with its Sunnis. You read your article and you're left with the impression that we don't have enough really solid minds looking at what's going on that's creating all of this horrible destruction in that part of the world, that we don't know who these people are, we don't know what their goals are, religious be they or whatever, and we don't know exactly how to fight it. I mean, shouldn't we have known the Islamic State's intentions pretty early on?
I think the signs were there, and you were kind enough to imply that it was a huge amount of work to get this information that's gone into my article in the current issue of The Atlantic. Actually, it wasn't even that hard. These people who are telling me about the ideology of the group, they're out there. They're not hard to track down. And the information that the Islamic State believes about itself is reflected all the time in social media, Twitter, that kind of thing. So, you know, I don't think we really have an excuse for the ignorance that we've had up until recently about the Islamic State. It's really been, I think, the consequence of our collective desire to avert our eyes from this terrible experience of occupation and for a little while anyway to pretend that Iraq and Syria don't still require our attention.
Where have you received the most pushback on your article? From the religious community?
I think a lot of Muslims object to my characterizing the Islamic State as an Islamic entity that's rejected by virtually all Muslims. And that's I think the single point that I've had the most criticism for.
And let's go to one more phone call. Frank in Onalaska. Hi, Frank.
Thanks. I guess I would underline the importance of distinguishing between the Sunni and Shiite factions The Bush administration obviously was totally unaware or didn't consider it when we invaded Iraq and took away the Sunni power structure. Given that Iran is Shiite, if I'm not mistaken, and would not like to see ISIS regain Sunni dominance in any of the areas, why aren't we? I mean, obviously, the big question is we're not recognized. We're not talking about in terms of the Sunni-Shiite distinctions, and the fact that Iran could be an ally of us in battling ISIS is obviously we can't go there because of our other questions about Israel and whatnot. So I'd like to guess thought on that.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
We are in a de facto alliance with Iran against ISIS right now. We don't talk about it much, but it's certainly the case. The big problem with all this, though, is that it's ISIS's view that Shia have to be killed. They believe that we're talking about hundreds of millions of people need to be killed. No matter what we do in allying with Iran, it's going to be a war that they are that ISIS ideologically is aggressively courting. They want to fight that. And, you know, any kind of accommodation that we eventually come to, it's going to have to figure out a way to make the battle lines not be so stark, but to have some kind of integration of Sunni and Shia and have them living as they had been for quite some time before, maybe not happily, but certainly not in a state of genocidal rage toward each other.
Why is it that the Islamic State, and I'm wondering if it's the power of the internet, Graham, or what it is that you have people from Brooklyn and France and the UK and Belgium and Germany and Holland and Australia and Indonesia and other places flocking to join this group? How do they find out about it? And is it mostly through social media?
There's a view, and I think it's false, that people are reading tweets, they're going on Facebook, and they're coming away saying, I want to join the Islamic State. That hasn't really happened. There's no one who's been radicalized only through that. It's usually through a personal contact. So these people, they know someone who knows someone who went over to the Islamic State, and then they use social media to sort of purify their minds and know what the positions of the Islamic State are. And then, someone tells them, show up at this hotel in Turkey. Someone will come vet you, take you across the border, and then you'll be there. So that's how they're coming. As for why they're coming, I really think the cosmic struggle between good and evil is a major motivator. The idea that you are saving Muslims and taking part in the run-up to the final days is a huge attraction if your life at home is boring.
Mm. And hard to make a distinction, a true distinction between good and evil in this regard, too, because heavens knows what's being done seems pretty evil to most of us. What about our success or lack thereof in fighting ISIS? Have we made any progress, would you say?
Quite a bit of progress, actually. Yeah, ISIS was expanding, and it really caught us and the Iraqi government especially very much off guard. They could not possibly take another city the way that they took Mosul in the middle of last year. They just rolled in with a very small number of fighters, and I had been in Mosul not too long before that, and I know how weakly defended that city was. But they could take a huge city like that. They couldn't do it again. They would be meeting resistance in Kirkuk, in Baghdad certainly. And I think in that way, the military expansion of the group has probably been stopped. What they're instead doing now is trying to get pledges of allegiance from other jihadi groups around the world, and they've had some success in doing that, such as in Libya and possibly in Nigeria soon.
Mm. Well, Graham, I can't thank you enough for writing this. This has been on my mind, and I'm sure it has many of our listeners for such a long period of time, and people may take issue with what you write, and there might be a full-flown debate about all of this, but you've given us so much information that until now, I don't know where we would have found it unless we'd been on the web ourselves and following all of these groups and watching beheadings and traveling to Australia and all that you've done. I think you undervalue your work in getting this story out, and it's such a valuable contribution, so thank you.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Graham Wood, the piece is in the current issue of The Atlantic. It's on our Facebook page if you want to make it easy on yourself. It's definitely worth a read. I mean, it's really worth a read. What ISIS Really Wants and How to Stop It. Graham Wood, our guest, reporter who has been really all over the world and is teaching at Yale. He worked for a newspaper in Phnom Penh, of all places, and lived in the Middle East and has traveled all over the world. We thank him for his knowledge and his writing. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. What an interesting conversation that was. I hope you agree. I'm Kathleen Dunn, KP Whaley. He produced the hour, so thanks to KP for that. And thank you to everyone who's a sustainer or who's already contributed, who writes us a nice check once a year, everybody who's contributed during this drive or by mail. WPR relies on listeners like you, and your support is the single largest piece of the budget. If you haven't given yet, now's the time. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. We still have a little bit of room for that dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,700 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because Diane Putzer from Appleton, Dan Fields from Madison, and another anonymous donor will double every dollar that you give.
Great deal.
Yeah, it's a fantastic deal, and it's really their way of inspiring you to go to the phone right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, you don't want to miss an hour like this because it's double your money, and how often does that, it's like double your coupon day, it's double your money here for your pledge. You've been enjoying, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but you've found important and meaningful the conversation with Graham Wood about ISIS. I've been looking for this conversation for a long time, and here it is, and we get to talk with him and invite you to join us. The hour is an example of important conversations that we have all the time on this program.
And now we've given you a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible by going to the phone, choosing a gift amount that works for you, and then making a pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you give to WPR to support the programs you love. If you need an added incentive, we do have one. When you give $60 or more, $5 a month, ask for the I Love WPR magnets.
Yeah, you get one large and a small one as well to go with it, so you can put them one in your car or one in your refrigerator. You can ask for the magnets now when you show your support at WPR.org, or again, or 888-202-2552.
This is what your kids sound like when you don't listen to public radio.
You're looking at me.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
And this is what your kids sound like when you do listen to public radio.
You're looking at me.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
Entering the country.
Yes, you are.
Okay, they might not get it now, but kids who grew up listening to public radio often end up listening to public radio as adults. Invest in their future learning. Donate today. Your kids will thank you later.
Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, asking for your support of WPR during our winter membership drive. Your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever. Thank you.
And if you can, you can share your passion for WPR by becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle with a pledge of $100 or more a month. And we rely on member support, your support, really, to make this great radio.
Gifts of $100 a month, that's $1,200 for the year, are important for our future. And gifts this hour, don't let this opportunity, as KP has rightly called it, go by. It's double your pledge, up to $4,700, and we're not there yet. So
that's
you're
right.
Getting double your pledge if you pledge right now. You had a terrific conversation with Graham. Double your pledge. It's all good. It's good. So pledge now. 888-202-2552.
And we have had 29 people take advantage of it this hour.
Great.
We still have a goal of 45. So we still need 16 more people to call in the next few minutes.
Well, they will.
And make a pledge.
Yeah.
One listener made their donation and said, we could live without WPR, but we sure wouldn't want to.
Aww.
Maybe you kind of feel that same way, that listening to WPR makes your life better.
It does. Keeping up with the news, the laughs you get from the weekend shows, the fascinating discussions here, always something that's good to listen to.
And if WPR does make your life better, then help fund it. Help keep it going. Your pledge of support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2555. 5-2 is so vitally important.
Double your amount of money due to some generous listeners, and that's until we reach a point of 4,700. We're not there yet, so it's double your pledge. And we want to thank you for spending time with us today. Whether you found us by scanning the dial or a friend recommended the discussion this hour, you're still tuned in because you like us.
You
come
really
on.
Like
you like
us.
KP.
You really like us.
Thank you. We really like you.
Because you do like us and you like what you hear, we really would like you to help pay for the public radio station as well. You choose an amount, really, any amount that you can give. Maybe it's $5 a month. It's just a great starting point. And you can be one of the 15 more members that we need to call right now at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Pledge right now while you're thinking about it. While it's a good time to do it, double your money. It takes just a few minutes to contribute.
It makes you feel good, too.
It does,
You have a good feeling of supporting the program that you love. You love the Kathleen Dunn Show. I know I talk to you every day. And maybe it's time to join or renew or make an extra gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dollar for dollar match. Still in effect. It's a great time to go to the phone and pledge right now. WPR.org 888-202-2552. Your support will go twice as far.
Twice as far. And we still have room for that double match. We have a need for 14 more callers to call right now. 202-2552. That's 888-202-2552. Make a pledge of support. You can pick up some magnets for a pledge of $60. Well, you know.
Good.
Nice little added incentive.
It's all good. Thanks, KP, so much for producing this hour. Special thanks. You do a great job, but this was really an interesting conversation. I mean, it was really interesting. Scotty Myers, thanks to you as well. Katie Cyrus, Madsen, both. Thanks to you as well. And thanks, everybody, for pledging. Remember, you still can. 888-202-2552.